Andrew Cote, hello. Well,
let me just leave this meeting. Somebody's recording this.
I'm recording it.
No, I'm joking. Okay, I got it.
Andrew Cote, hello.
Hello, and you? I should call you Joe or Your Majesty or what? How do you like to?
Master Little Joe. No, Joe is fine.
I heard Little Joe, but that was not. It was in a pejorative context. I wasn't sure if you wanted to get into that. But
well, welcome to Labors for Neighbors. It's a show about labors and work and jobs and how it manifests itself, not just for our own benefit, which is typical and usual and good, but for other people, which you do on a daily basis, hourly basis. You are a beekeeper. Yes?
Yes.
And what's fascinating about you more than most beekeepers in the world is that you are a beekeeper in New York City.
Well, I am. I think I get a lot more credit for being fascinating because the job is interesting. But, the beekeeper himself, perhaps less so.
I haven't ever met a beekeeper. You're arguably because of your media and your interviews, you're the most famous beekeeper in New York City.
It is a small pond, and I am probably the best known beekeeper in New York City.
Until the year 2010, keeping bees in New York City was illegal, correct?
Right. From 1999 until 2010, harboring honeybees in New York City was against the law, against the code for the Department of Health and Mental Hygiene.
When did it become illegal?
It became illegal in 1999.
So for that's right. That's why you referenced the 11 years of dearth and
the bitter years.
And how long have you lived in New York City?
I think I came in 07. Yes, 2007.
And so you had some role in the rolling back of that provision and making it legal in New York City. Yes.
I accept all credit for it, but I don't deserve very much of it. I was the beekeeper that the Department of Health asked to come join the meetings so that they could do this thing safely and well. And I helped with petitions, but there were a lot of other people behind it. Just somehow I get the accolades, which is fine, but not really fair.
But for 4 years, did you keep bees in New York City illegally? I don't understand.
I don't know how long the statute of limitations on this clandestine, unlawful activity would be, but some people were keeping bees in New York City during those years, yes.
Before we go on, I want to cut to the chase, and I'll cut to the chase at the end as well. If someone in North Carolina, I'm from North Carolina, if someone in North Carolina wants to buy honey from you, they can go to andrewshoney.com.
Yes, sir. But and as much as I would appreciate someone from North Carolina or anywhere buying honey from me, and as wise a decision as that is, I would actually encourage the person to go to their local farmer's market and support their local beekeeper. It's better for the local economy. It's better for that person's health, I think, to eat honey that's right from that same area. But by all means, supplement it by going to andrewshoney.com. Sure.
Andrew, that is part of the charm that I recognized, even in the newspaper article from a month ago, was that you are a self-deferential. You are a humble fellow, and you defer to many others, including the Brooks brothers. The Brooks brothers, in one of your interviews, they did something. What did the Brooks brothers do?
The original Brooks brothers have been buried in Greenwood Cemetery for something like 150 years. So they, quite honestly, haven't done very much for me. But yes. I do have bees on top of the roof of the Brooks brothers' flagship store on 44th and Madison in Manhattan. And they're just a great company and family. They're very cool, and they care about the bees. And we have one hive on the roof for each of the original four Brooks brothers.
Or not?
Well, first of all, forget the wasps, just thinking of the bees. There are about 20,000 types of bees in the world, about 5,000 types in North America. And of those, only one is the honeybee. And that bee is not indigenous to North America. That bee was brought over in the 1620s to Virginia, I believe. And so that bee's been around for about 400 years in this country. Some people, you would refer to it as the white man's fly. and Native American people would see it as a harbinger that people, Europeans were settling on their lands near them.
But the Native Americans said that ambivalently because they also saw the benefit of it with the honey, yes? That's fair
to
say.
I imagine they did. I don't know that I have a lot of info about what their dealings were with honey. That would be an interesting question. Some stuff from the 1800s I've seen, but right. Nothing from earlier that comes to mind.
Besides this interview, what is the hardest part of your job? What is the hardest part of keeping bees?
Well, no, you were right. It is this interview. I feel I feel very ill at ease and scared a little bit. Somehow.
You should.
But the hardest part about keeping bees is the hardest part about keeping bees in New York City is dealing with the traffic, finding parking, getting up onto the roof when one wants to, because all of those things take time. I mean, during COVID days, it's been a lot easier because there hasn't been as much traffic. There's been more parking available. But under normal circumstances, for me to drive around and find parking, that could take an hour. And then I have to schlep all my stuff to the building. I have to get access. Maybe the person who's got the key isn't there. It takes a long time. So there's just a lot involved with the humans. The humans are the problem with most things. But after that, just not falling off the roof if a bee gets into your ear or nostril, that's a challenge.
I gather from you that the urban areas are generally, and New York City in particular, is a very good place for honey because there are not pesticides. And so whatever plants the bees are pollinating, are organically good and well for us.
Right. Well, I can't say that there's no pesticide usage in an urban environment, but there's far less than in agriculture environments. Those areas are soaked in pesticides and all kinds of chemicals. So there have been great tests done that demonstrate the honey from an urban area is much cleaner from pesticides, from chemicals, than the honey from other. That's one of my pollination projects over there. You hear?
I love your pollination project.
Some of his artwork, also, by the way. So I mean, it's counterintuitive, but the city honey is cleaner than the country honey. Often.
I am in New York City, so Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I will see you. What days are you midtown? What is your place of sales?
I sell honey at the Union Square Green Market, and I'm there reliably Wednesdays and Saturdays, and generally on Mondays. Although in August, I've had to take some Mondays off. So generally speaking, it'll be Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. Definitely from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., usually a little bit later. I'm right at 16th Street on the west side of Union Square Park.
So Wednesday, and this Wednesday, we may have a tropical storm, but maybe that will have passed. Tell me, I have been impressed in your interviews that you are a very smart guy. Where do you get your smarts, as truthfully as you can say, and where do you get your work ethic from?
I'll answer the second part first. I get my work ethic from my father. He's almost 80. He still works very, very hard every day. And the worst sin is to be lazy. And so I just try to emulate what he does. He is a harder worker than I am. And I want to set a good example for the young ones here in my household. And as far as I don't want to disagree with you on your show. But I don't really think of myself as a very smart guy. I just think that I want to make the most of every opportunity, and I want to try, and I'm not afraid to fail. And so
you are a busy bee. We have that term. Why do we have that term, busy bee? Why are bees known to be so productive and efficient?
Bees aren't really all that efficient. If you really monitor what they're doing, they're wasting a lot of time. But this organized chaos of the hive, this manner in which bees just are always moving and darting about, it gives the impression that they're busy. We all have known someone in the workplace who's like that, who spends a lot of time moving around and shuffling papers and just, you know, organizing things and being flustered Bees can be like that too.
Yes. Besides this interview, what is the most pleasurable part of your work, of your job? This is it. No, this is it. I get it. This is the
hard to say. I mean, it's this being one. Number two is really far down.
But you, a few years ago, you had it was said that you had you were maintaining 100 beehives. Has that doubled? Has that what number of beehives are you involved with right now?
Well, we as a family have about 500, and that sounds like a lot, but for beekeepers, it's not a huge, huge number. And there were 104 in New York City. But when COVID hit, I took about 30 of those out of the city, and I took about 40? I took another 35 or 40, and I moved them all to one spot in Queens, so in New York City, the Queens County Farm Museum, where there's a lot of space, and it's a good area. They've been farming it since the 1600s, the same plot of land, so it's pretty cool. So I still have about the same number of hives, but I had to remove them from some of the buildings in New York City because getting access was tricky. Some buildings just didn't want anyone coming in.
But I will revisit the question. What is the thing that you lean into? What is the most pleasurable part of your work?
There's so much that I enjoy about it, to be honest, because I had a career before this and I left it because I like this so much more.
Was your career before this?
I was a professor. I taught for the state of Connecticut. I was a full-time tenured professor.
What did you teach?
Well, I taught a few different things. I taught literature. I taught English, but I always ended up teaching like those EN 101, 102 classes.
For a dumb guy, you're very smart. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, well,
I
I can get by. I mean, I can cobble sentences together better than your average high school graduate enough to maybe get them to the next level.
Why did you transition? Why did you transition to beekeeping?
Because it was hard for me to keep that job because I wasn't always fully in agreement with attending very boring faculty and staff meetings and. The dean and I didn't always see eye to eye, and the bees had a strong allure. My father was getting older. He needed more and more help. So my students began to recognize it from April forward. Probably they wouldn't get a lot of homework, and maybe September, October, I might not show up to class all that often.
That's funny.
And it started to show up in the newspapers, and I'd call in sick, but then I'd be on the Martha Stewart show or something like that would happen. So on a live show and just, it didn't. Yeah. You can read all about it in this book.
Venom, honey and venom. And that's because part of the bee is sweet and part of it is poisonous.
It's the sting, but my favorite part to finally answer you is catching swarms. When bees fly away and they have like a cluster of about 20,000 bees land on something. I really enjoy that part very much.
If I wanted to start a bee, an aviary? What do you call it?
An apiary. A-P-I-R-Y. Uh-huh.
If I wanted to start an apiary, which is a keep bees and make honey on my roof at 93rd Street, where would you refer me? Where should I go to regarding resources, starter resources?
There's a really good book called Beekeeping for Dummies. And it's a great series, and it's written by Howland Blackiston. I write the urban beekeeping parts, but it's Howland's book, for, no doubt. And it's a great book. You should also find a club, like we have the New York City Beekeepers Association, or whoever's watching this, wherever you are. I mean, I heard your demographic includes a lot of prisoners and a lot of homebound, I don't know what that word is, psycho... I'm not sure what that means.
You're the funny guy.
Find a club, find a mentor, read some basic beekeeping books, read books by Dr. Tom Seeley, and find out if it's for you because it's a nice idea. Right. And anyone who wants to do it should do it. But get your hands dirty or sticky and find out if you like doing it because you might not like it once the bees are all over you as much as you thought you would.
Andrew Cote, you are the ideal guest on Labors for Neighbors, New York, on behalf of all of New York City. I appreciate what you do for America, for this area, for Gotham. It's marvelous. It's marvelous to hear about it and to talk with you. Thank you.
It was a lot of fun, Joe. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.